It's so good to see you this morning. Thank you very much for being a part of our services today here at Azalea City. Do want you to know that we certainly appreciate you being with us. We appreciate the opportunity we have, hopefully, to get to know those of you who may be visiting with us just a little bit better. We do want to say, if you're visiting with us and you're looking for a church home, that you don't have to look any further. I mean, this is the greatest place on earth. And this is home to me. This is where I grew up, and this is home to a lot of us. And so I am thankful for this great place. I am thankful for the servants we have at this place. And listen, if you're not in this list, and please, there are all kinds of ways they're serving, but Justin referenced it earlier, and Levy referenced it in class. Last week out at Junior Week of Gulf Coast Bible Camp, it's kind of become Azalea City Week, if you will, because we have so many involved. We had about 40 people out there, whether kids or those who were out there serving. Some came out every day. Some stayed out there. What a blessing it was. It was a great week, and thank you very much for doing that. And thank you for those who serve all the time. Brother Lindy, it's good to see you this morning. Let's continue to pray for Sister Dora Wright, who hopefully is continuing to make strides of improvement, but it's great to see him this morning. I love Azalea City. I love this place. And most of all, I am thankful that we have one another, but we also serve an amazing God. It's been a great worship service. I appreciate these songs Steve has led us in, and just some of them really have touched my heart today as we think about how much we need God. How much we're in need of His grace. We're in need of His mercy. We're in need of His love, His forgiveness. And I appreciate Kent. Kent always is very practical in the things that he says, and I appreciate that. That really, I can relate to those things. Everything I have is linked through Apple. If my apple went out, Kent, I'd be in trouble. If it became an orange or whatever, I know that was corny, but anyhow, the point is, The reality is, I understand that, I can relate to that, and I appreciate Bo reading to us from where we're going to be in Psalms today, from that great verse that we're getting this sermon, "Be still and know that I am God." And I certainly appreciate not only our elder brother Virgil, but our elder brother Larry's prayer as well. It's our time in our service, though, that I want to talk about spending time with God. That's what this is. God is here in the middle of us, and we have sang praises to Him. We have broken bread in His honor, in His name, in His remembrance. We have read Scripture. We have sang songs. We could go on and on. But we've come to the point in our lesson, in our time of worship today, that we're going to challenge ourselves. This year, as you're aware, it's behind me on the wall, our theme is more. We want to do more. We want to be more. We want to do what God wants us to do and take it to another level. Maybe we've just kind of coasted in for a while. Well, it's time to fuel up, and it's time to drive past any place that we've ever been in our spiritual lives today. In order to do that, we've got to spend more one-on-one time with God. And that's what today is about. Quality, quiet time with God. Quality, quiet time with God. Now, let me say from the outset that this is a challenge. This is a very practical sermon. And I pray that today, I believe it was Brother Larry or Brother Virgil, I can't remember, one of our elders prayed that we will be able to take something with us today. This is a lesson you can take with you not just today, but every day of your lives. You can take it and just drive it home, and it will change your life. Because when we spend one-on-one time with God, it will make a difference in our lives and the lives of others. And we're going to try to illustrate that through the Word of God today. But I'm not going to survey the crowd today, but I would like for you to ask in your own hearts right now, in your own minds, do I have quality, quiet time with God every day? I want you to be honest. Be honest with yourself. God knows anyhow. Am I spending spending quality, quiet time with God every day? If the answer to that is yes, then I'm going to look at and know that that person is a spiritual giant. I'm just telling you they're going to be. But if the answer is no, if the answer is life gets in the way, small children get in the way, work gets in the way, then we need to refocus today. We need to re-examine, as Levy told us in our class this morning. We need to examine ourselves. We need to look at ourselves. Are we standing out? Are we doing what God wants us to do? As a child, and so we have children in here, and it may still be that some of our children have these places, but as a child, as we as adults, did you ever have a special place you'd go to kind of get away from the world, get away from life? Maybe it was a fort, you know, you built in the woods or something, and you could go to that place and you could be whatever you wanted to be. You know, in our older days, you'd be a soldier, or you could go out and just solve the world's problems. You could be the greatest hero who's ever lived in your own little fort. But it was a place to get away from the real world and get into our imagination and get into our imaginative worlds. Maybe it was a tent you had and you could set it up and you could go. Maybe it was a closet. It was somewhere in your house that you could go and you could get away and you could pretend. Well, now as an adult, where is that place? Maybe, you know, if you're like to hunt or go out in the woods, maybe it's a shooting house. Maybe it's a tree branch along, or a tree that's fallen down along the creek of a river. Maybe it's just on the back porch, just having a cup of coffee and just you and nature and God. Maybe it's a long walk. Maybe it's the long drive to work. Wherever it is, we still have a place that we can, what I call, unplug for a while. I mean, we're so plugged in. I just told you everything I have is connected through devices, okay? And if it goes down, I'm in trouble. Or at least for a little bit, okay? But we plug in so much, and we plug so much into our brains and so much into our lives that sometimes it's good to unplug and spend one-on-one time with God. So I want you to still have your special place. I want you to be able to, I've called it and I've heard it called this, veg out for a while, become just a vegetable. We do nothing but sit there and meditate, right? But today, and from this point forward, I want you to include God in that time. More importantly, God wants you to be included in that time. You know, one place that I have used to have quiet time, and sometimes it means bigger water bills, is in the shower. Because I know in the shower, I'm going to be by myself. Nobody is coming in, nobody. And so I've got the time, and I've got the water, and I've got the opportunity with my mind before I've plugged it in so many things that morning to spend that time with God. Maybe I'll take a scripture with me into that shower and meditate in it, and then I'll pray. But no matter what, we all going to shower sometime or another, or bathe, right? So I'm hoping, though, you do that with God, but I really want to use this as an acrostic with you is why I wanted to get you going. I want you to think about the S in soap. You may have heard this before. It is scripture. Think about the scripture that God wants you to have. Read passages that you can meditate in. I'm not talking about from Leviticus chapter 12, okay? I'm not talking about those kind of passages. Passages that talk about law after law after law after law, or genealogies. I'm talking about a Psalm 23, a 1 Corinthians 13, a Philippians 4. We could go on and on. There are passages that you have in your memory. You might need to get a little more familiar with. Take those wherever that quiet place is and plug into that scripture. Meditate in it. God said, "Be still and know that I am God." And we've got to do that. The O then stands for observation. Reflect on that scripture. When David is penning the words to Psalm 23, you know what he's doing? He's reflecting on what God had done for him. He's observed these things as a shepherd, and he made it personal to his life. Has God done great things for us? Yes. Kent said it earlier. Are we blessed? Amen. We are blessed. God has done marvelous things, amazing things. That may be the little kid sitting on the pew with you, your children. It may be the wife, the husband. It may be the great job. Whatever it is, God's done amazing things. Let's observe that. And then, A, take that scripture and make application. Think about what God's done. Observe the great things that verse is teaching us, that passage is teaching us, and then apply it to our lives. I believe on every single page of the book, even the Leviticuses, even the genealogies, there is application. It is written, the Old Testament written for our learning, the New Testament's what we're bound by, but every single word of the book is breathed by God. He inspired those men to pen those words. And it's exactly what He wanted us to know. Make application. How, when I read the Bible, unless I'm studying for a sermon, if I'm studying for myself, I always try to ask, how does this apply to me? And then finally, spend some time in prayer. Spend time praying about it. You know what that few minutes is going to do for your life? It's going to change it. Scripture, observation, application, prayer. You see, God plus anything, but God in this sense plus us. It's amazing. When we spend quality, quiet time, more time with God, then amazing things are going to transpire in our lives. You see, what we do with the time given to us, we're going to be judged by. We're going to be judged. That is going to be something that judges us through this book. Are we doing what we do for the glory of God? Today I want to give you four quick points. Or you think, well, you just gave me four quick points. I'm going to give you four more. They're going to be a little longer than those. But these four things, when we spend quality, quiet time with God, here's what the Scriptures teach us going to happen. Number one, we're going to reflect God's character. Turn your Bible to Psalm 37, please. Psalm 37. Somebody asked me the other day, hey, Terry, how can you read anymore without your glasses? Well, there are two reasons. Number one, I got contacts that are actually stronger, if you're wondering. And number two, I got a Bible that has a lot bigger print in it. So that helps. Psalm 37, verses 1 through 8. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Let's stop a minute. Let's think. Do not fret because of evildoers. Anybody in here fret because of evil? And you might say, nah, I'm not worried about that. But deep down, sometimes we are. Threats that are happening, struggles at work. Maybe somebody's against us, and folks, let me tell you, you live the Christian life long enough, you're going to have people against you. I certainly have people against me. Now, I hate that. I wish it didn't happen that way, but that's the way it is, unfortunately, sometimes. Jesus Christ had people kill Him. So, I mean, that's going to happen. We're going to have people talk against us. We're going to have people point things out, point flaws out. We're imperfect people. So, sometimes we do fret over that, don't we? Well, here's what He's telling the people in this song, in this psalm. Don't fret. Why? For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. In other words, I've got this. By the way, God's got it. He's got it. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. I love that phrase. Feed on His faithfulness. Because I like to eat, you know? That goes well with me. Maybe you're hungry right now. You're thinking about, what am I going to do for lunch? Get that out of your mind. Feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord. He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, do not fret. It only causes harm. If you go back up to verse 3 in connection with our point here to reflect God's character, what does quality, quiet time with God do for us? It helps us reflect God's character. In verse 3 it says, trust in the Lord and do good. That's the character of God. You know the shortest biography of Jesus Christ in all the Bible? It simply says He went about doing good. Isn't that amazing? Jesus Christ, and we could list all these qualities of Jesus that makes Him distinguished, distinctive, you know, that helps Him stand out, like Levy talked about. But we could spend time and time again. I know that Jason's talking to one and one about, or thinking about spending time being like Jesus. We talked about that earlier. But when it comes down to it, we can sum it up with one phrase. He went about doing good. If I'm going to reflect God's character, the more time I spend with Him, the more I'm going to be like Him. Anybody in here think, or your wife ever tell you guys, you're getting more and more like your dad each and every day. You know why we spend so much time with Him? You know, and we look, that's just the way, the more time we spend with our Father, Heavenly Father, the more we're going to be like Him. The more we're going to want to do good. Verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord. Do you remember when you started dating your spouse? Do you remember that time? It's been a few days ago maybe. But I can tell you, Michelle and I, we started dating and we spent time getting to know one another. Isn't that what dating is? I guess we used to call it courting at one time. You know, the time you get dating and is the time that you spend getting to know one another. Now, I'm going to use a word with you, and I want you to understand this word. Intimacy. A lot of times people think the word intimate, they think, oh, that's a husband-wife word. That's a bedroom word. Well, let me tell you right now, it's not. Intimacy can happen with all of us. It's extreme closeness. It's getting to know one another so well. And when husbands and wives get to know each other so well, it leads to those times that we think about in the intimate part of a relationship, quote unquote. But when you spend time talking, spend time getting to know one another, doing things together, encouraging and listening and those type things, then that builds intimacy. When I talk to couples that are getting married, I tell them, you need to be intimate with one another. Folks, well, I'm here to tell you, you and I need to be intimate with God. We need that intimacy with God. We need that closeness with God. We need to delight in the Lord. Why did you get to know your spouse so well? Because you delighted in it. If you don't delight in the Word of God, if I do not delight in the Word of God, then I am not going to enjoy spending time with God. I need to study. I need to talk. I need to read the Word of God. If we're going to be our best for our Lord, if we're going to have heaven on the forefront of our minds, then we need to ask ourselves the question, what do I delight in the most? Is it my marriage? Is it my children? Sometimes we reflect it, right? If my marriage is the most important thing, then I'm going to miss a lot of things to strengthen my marriage. If my children are the most important thing, then I'm going to make sure they get to the ballparks and everything else on time while at the detriment of not going to worship. Is it money? Then I'm going to take every opportunity I can, even when I don't have to make sure I work and do this and do that, because money is going to be the most important. Is it hobbies? Is it nothing? What do I delight in the most? The most important thing in our lives must be delighting ourselves in the Lord. People can argue that all day long, but when it comes down to it, that has to be the most important thing in our life. Here's what happens when we do that. We reflect the character of God. We go around doing good. We become better husbands. We become better wives. Why? Because if I'm going to reflect God, then I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to be a better parent. Why? Because God is a better parent. That didn't mean that God's our best friend all the time. God's going to punish when evil needs to be punished. He's going to do it. Parents have to punish. Parents have to discipline. We're going to be better rounded, well-rounded parents. We're going to be better friends. Why? Because we're going to reflect the character of God. When we take on the character of God, others will take notice. Moses, when he took on the glowing nature of God after he had been with God for 40 days on the mountain, he came down. Others took notice. Are we reflecting God's character? Number two, when we spend quality, quiet time with God, then we're going to receive God's blessings. Verse 4 again. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall what? Give you the desires of your heart. Man, right off the bat, that sounds great, doesn't it? We're going to get that brand new car, that brand new truck, because man, that's in my heart right now, and I want it so bad, right? We're going to get that $200,000 a year job. We're going to get that 10,000 square foot mansion. We're going to get fame. We're going to get fortune. Why? Because that's the desires of my heart. Well, see, that's not exactly the way it works. That's the way our earthly desires are. And it's kind of the way we think, okay, God, you know, spending quality time with Him, just like Terry said, God, I promise you, I delight in you. Now, where's the keys to my new car? You see, that's not the way it works, though. Delight in the passage comes before desire. Delight in the Lord comes before desire in the heart. When we delight in the Lord and we reflect God's character, then His desires become our desires. We are now reflecting God. Our heart becomes His heart. Our character becomes His character. God will freely bless us with our desires because our desires are really His desires. You see, that's the way it works spiritually. When we want what God wants, God will give us more than we want. 1 Kings chapter 3 illustrates that perfectly. It's the story of Solomon. Solomon, what do you want? What do you desire? Well, at that time, Solomon was listening to his father, who I gave that advice last week. He said, hey, prove yourself a man. Follow in the ways of God. Well, Solomon for a time did that, of course. I like to think at the end he did too. It's just that middle to get messed up. But while he's doing that, you remember, he could have anything. But he desired wisdom. And that's exactly what God desired of him. But here's the beauty behind it. With that wisdom came the wealth. It came the other things he had in life. But it wasn't because he said, God, give me all the money in the world. Solomon had a lot of gold now. He had a lot of value. Silver had no value in Solomon's kingdom. That's how wealthy he was. But he desired what God desired of him to have, and that's wisdom. You see, when we desire what God desires of us, then He's going to grant it. But we're not going to know what God desires if we're not delighting in the Lord. Thirdly, when we spend quality, quiet time with God, it will help us to rely on God's power. See verse 5 again. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. How many times, 3 or 4 or 5 times in this passage, didn't He say, do not fret? Do not fret, do not fret, do not fret. Why? Because God's got this. God's power is strong. Let me tell you, this is something that's going to really be cool. It was cool to me. So I hope it'll be cool to you. The Hebrew word there in this, commit your way to the Lord, and all this, it really means to roll it over. Roll it over. What does that mean? We've got to roll over our struggles to God. When I roll it over to Him, He's going to be able to pick it up. He's going to be able to bear it. He's going to give us the news. So we've got selfish desires today, and we can't get rid of those selfish desires. Roll it on over to God. He'll take care of it. What about we want to be a better husband, a better wife, a better child, a better son, a better daughter, whatever it may be. Roll it on over to God. He'll help us. I want my job to be better. It's a struggle at my job. Roll that struggle over to God. Better friends, I need to roll them over to God. Hobbies, thoughts, worries, whatever it may be, roll it on over to God. He's willing to bear it. But I wouldn't know that if I'm not spending quality, quiet time with God. In every part of our life, do we want God's will to happen? I think we would answer that question yes. Because if it's not in God's will, we really don't want it. Well, let me tell you this. Water, you may know this, boils at 212 degrees. That's pretty hot. 212 degrees. At 211 degrees, you know what you have? Really hot water. I would not recommend trying that out. But it's not yet boiling. It's really hot. But it's not yet boiling. 1 degree makes all the difference. Without God, we will always be just short of accomplishing the things in life that we are supposed to accomplish. You can live a really good life. You can live a really prosperous life, but without rolling it over to God, we will always be just short. Now it's time to cut the ties. God, I'm rolling it over to You today. I'm going to give it all to You. I'm going to rely on Your power. Please take control. And then finally this morning, when we reflect God's character, receive God's blessings, rely on His power, spending quality, quiet time with God will allow us to rest in God's will. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. He's talking about, do not fret your enemies, do not fret these things, do not fret, roll it over to Me, right? And what happens? The opposite of war is peace. And so God's going to grant us that rest, that peace. Now this is a phrase that's mentioned in verses 1 and 7 and 8. Do not fret. Do not fret. I said 3 or 4 times. There it is. In the Hebrew, it means to burn or be extremely hot. I spent a week out at camp. It only rained like 2 of the days, so it was really hot. Yesterday I cut grass. It was really, really hot. Sometimes we get gnats and they drive me crazy flying in my face. And so I'm thinking it's hot, it's sweating, you know, all this is real, it's just frustrating. So I was fretting over it, right? That's how we get in life sometimes. We got these little zzzz in our ears and it's really hot. And so we're fretting and we're fretting and we're fretting. Wouldn't it be nice to say, hey, go cool off in the air conditioner. Here's a glass of sweet tea, lemonade, water, whatever quenches your thirst. sit down, put your feet up. I've got this. That's the mindset of God when we spend that time with Him. Spending quality time with God, delighting in the Lord, desiring what He desires, rolling our problems over to Him, we're then going to be able to have rest. Rest from the things that keep us up at night. Rest from the things that make us uncomfortable. Maybe this is you today. I've got a problem. I just can't handle it. I don't know what to do. We go to counselors, we go to ministers, we go to elders, we go to people all the time, and I'm thankful for all the above. But ultimately it's God who says you don't have to handle it anymore. Give it to me. Let go. Let God. Today, we're going to bring this to a close right now. Behind this wall is water. And it's just water. There's nothing holy about it. It comes out of a tap. In God's hands, though, that water becomes blood. And that blood can take your problems away. We can die today to our old self. We can bury ourselves under that watery grave. God then will contact us with the life-saving blood of Jesus Christ. And we can come up out of that water brand new. Boiling, on fire for God. Some of you, many of you have done that. Some of you, however, since that time, maybe, we've drifted away. We've lost our way. We've forgotten God. We've forgotten that He can bear our burdens. Today, whatever the need may be, let's roll it over to Him and let's do it right now as together we stand and sing.